McCall is here. And if you don't know who Peggy McCall is, shame on you, because you dang sure should know who she is. New York Times bestseller, coach, and now my new friend, Peggy McCall. How you doing, lady? Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you so much. You are a machine today, Teresa. Let's go.
I ate my Wheaties.
I guess you did. Now, did you get to a point today? I mean, you've been doing all the interviewing, right? Maybe you should sit back, let somebody interview you for a little bit. Now, did you reach a point today where you're going, what in the world was I thinking?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I did, especially at the lunch break, because when I'm going and I'm talking to people, I love doing this. This is one of my passions. So when I'm going and doing this, 18 years in media, yeah, let's go. We can do it all day. But then I took a lunch break and I sat down, you know, and the dog came, put his head in my lap. And I went, oh, yeah, I got 12 more to do. It's okay.
Just 12 more to go. Well, I think that speaks to when you love what you do and when you're in it, it doesn't feel like work. But yeah. I remember going to South Africa one time. I was doing a 3-city book tour and it was a really big schedule. TV, radio, bookstore signings, seminars, webinars. Well, no webinars. It was all live events. And I got to the final day. It was the 10th day and I had been going strong. There were a couple nights I didn't sleep because we had such long days. And I got to that 10th day and I was just thinking, I'm about 8 hours away from little drinks with umbrellas in them at the pool.
Well, you already know I'm a humongous fan of yours. You know, we just spoke the other day. We just did your interview. It's actually going to air this coming Saturday. So I'm so excited about that. And thank you for coming on to the show. And then you agreed to come back for International Women's Day. And I could not be happier. You know, you are the epitome of International Women's Day. You have blazed trails. You've left nobody behind. I mean, if people want to follow, you'll lead, you know, and you are lighting it up. You've also traveled all over the world. You just told a story about living all over the world. What would you tell someone that's looking right now? Maybe they're in college, maybe they're in high school, and they're going, I want to write. I want to travel. I want to do. And they feel like maybe they can't because people are telling them, well, that's not for you. You can't do that. What would you tell them?
Yeah, I totally get that. I love that. You know, what immediately comes to my mind, Teresa, is to get a copy of Savvy Wisdom. Now that may seem a little odd, but I put myself back in the shoes of at that time in my life, you know, as a teenager. And of course, Savvy Wisdom is a fiction book. It's a parable based on my own life and meeting Bob Proctor, but I was a young teenager who wasn't going to college. I actually wanted to exit stage left. I just wanted to end my life, kind of like what Meghan Markle had said on the interview last night with Oprah. Mm. And I was very much the same way. And so the reason why I say get Savvy Wisdom is it's a great book, especially if, you know, a young person seems to be really resonating with men, women, boys, and girls, but teenagers specifically are loving this book. And what I like about it is it really takes you on a journey, but a journey that you can go along with the writer and experience the potential of really creating a phenomenal life, like a life of your dreams, because the wisdom that was provided to Sophie, the main character in the book, is absolutely life-changing. And it's, you know, such a simple thing to do. It's a fun thing to do. We all love to be entertained. And this is a great way of being entertained and inspired at the exact same time.
So this is your first book of this type. You know, right. You have not written a book like this. What inspired you to finally write the story? Because it is a parable of your life a little bit. And it's kind of, I started it and we're going to do a Q&A and I'm going to be so ready for this Q&A. But you really stepped out of your comfort zone with this book and it literally exploded. What made you decide to write it?
It was absolutely divinely guided, I believe. And I always pay attention to those guidances, those pieces of guidance. You know, I had already 18 books out there in the world. Many of them were in the field of self-help, a couple books were on marketing because I teach people how to, entrepreneurs, how to market their business or their books effectively. And so I did not intend on writing a book. I mean, last year, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to write a fiction book or a parable one day. It was not even on my radar. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even in my consciousness until October 31st, 2020. And I was looking at this list of videos. I create videos all the time that we use in our business to promote, share knowledge, information, strategies. And one of my team members, she always creates the list of recommended topics. And so it was October 31st. I looked at the list and it said, how I wrote my first fiction book. And I thought, well, I mean, she knows me, right? She knows me very well. I've never written a fiction book. And I just, rather than dismissing it, because normally what I would do is just delete, you know, move on to the next topic. And
right.
And I just felt there's something there. There's something, it's like a message for me I need to hear and pay attention to right now. And so I decided to entertain the idea. What if I wrote a fiction book? And then my paradigm showed up and they said, well, you're not a great writer. And then I thought, well, what if you believed you are? Because I'm a good writer. I consider myself a good writer. I'd always hire great editors and it would help make my book much better. And then I just said, listen, why don't you get out of your own way and get on with the work? When would you love to have it done? So, and this is just a dialogue I'm having with myself. And I decided I'm going to get this book done in 10 days. And I didn't. I got it done in 9 days. But you know what, Teresa? It was the best time I've ever had by far writing a book. I am madly in love with what came through me, like madly in love, like nothing I've ever experienced before. And the book's just taken off. It's being made into a movie. And I'm already visualizing my Oscar. I already have it right here on my desk. Best motion picture, Savvy. Isn't that great? I keep it on my desk right in front of my sign that says your success is absolutely guaranteed.
That is, see, this is why I'm a super fan right here. This is why I'm a super fan. She didn't take a little piece of paper and stick it on the wall, which that is great because I've got tons of little pieces of paper stuck on the wall. But she went to a whole nother level and said, look, it's going to be a movie. And on top of that, it's going to get an Oscar. Period. Hands down. That's what you call trailblazing right there. That's what I mean by international woman right there. You know, I want to ask you about someone who's sitting at home and thinks they have a story. You know, they think they want to get that message out and they don't know where to start. They don't know if their message is worth even sharing. How do you start?
Yeah, well, you start like I did with Savvy Wisdom by making a decision. You're going to do it, right? You just say, I'm going to write this book. And that's a very simple place to start. And then secondly, set a date for when you're going to get it done. And then what you do and what I did was I went into my agenda and I just started blocking off time. I have a busy life. And so when I decided I'm getting this book written in 9 days, I didn't have a clear schedule. I just went and found places where I could plug in an hour or two here and there. So I knew I could sit down, focus on the writing. And then I got my attitude right about it. And that was, I expected to write a great book. It's almost like I commanded myself to write a great book and there was no other option. If you're going to put the time in, you might as well do a great job while you're at it. And so I decided to do that and I stuck with it. And, you know, in all sincerity, there was never a day where I didn't feel like writing and everything was just totally flowing through me. And it was such a fun experience because I remember sitting there and thinking, where's this coming from? But anyways, just you got to get into the spirit of the writing as well. And that's really using the law of assumption, assuming that it's going to go well for you and just assuming you're going to have a great time writing and getting on with the work. But I would caution anyone who's thinking about writing a book to really learn about the marketing as well. Because when I first became an author, I realized that writing the book and publishing the book is a tiny fraction of what's really essential for success as an author. And when I first became an author with my first book, someone said 5% of an author's responsibility is getting their book out to the world, which means you write it and you publish or self-publish. 95% of an author's responsibility is the marketing. And so I dove right in very early days and applied effective marketing. I love using this thing called the internet. It's so easy to access for anyone, anywhere. And that's when I began creating bestsellers. And that's when people started being drawn to me, like Marianne Williamson and Wayne Dyer and Greg Braden and Neil Donald Walsh and Debbie Ford and all these wonderful people.
Goosebumps. That, I got
yeah,
goosebumps.
They were just amazing. It was amazing to work with them. And you see, I believe I'm here to make a positive contribution to lives of millions. How that's going to happen, not my job. The universe will take care of that. I just got to show up every day and find ways of, how can I serve today? How can I serve today better than I did yesterday? You know, what is it that people are really looking for? And how can I bring that to them so that they get what they need and what they want as well? And I believe that's just a philosophy for life. You have that. I see it in everything that you do. You're a big giver. You're generous. You're exceedingly generous. And I remember Bob Proctor told me, he said, the first law of prosperity is generosity. And that really is who you are. You're very, very generous with your time, with your knowledge, with your expertise, with your words. You leave people with the impression of increase. And I think you're extraordinary. And I only see success for you because that's all you deserve.
I appreciate that. I really do. Coming from you, man, that's very humbling for me. It's just like, wow, you know, just hearing those words from you. And I'm sitting here looking at the clock going, no. Because our time is almost up. I can't believe it. 15 minutes goes like that. Yeah. But we are not done. You're going to come on to the show. We're going to do a Q&A. I hope Mr. Proctor can come because I'm a humongous fan of him. Yeah. And we're going to sit down and really talk about Savvy Wisdom because, you know, when the Oscar comes around, I got to get tickets. I don't care if it's in the nosebleed
seats. Right.
I'll be there. I will be there for that. And I just want to ask you, you know, if you weren't an author, if you weren't the mentor that you are, what would you have done? What was your passion that you wanted to do that you maybe you only get a chance to do a little bit right now?
You know, I was in love with personal development when I was 19. I mean, I just found it, loved it. And that's all I've really thought about. So even though my career started in the technology industry, and it really hasn't really left because I still use technology in my business. Mm-hmm. I honest to goodness can't think of anything I would rather do than what I'm doing right now. It's interesting you asked that question, but I absolutely am madly in love with what I do.
Well, Miss Peggy McCall, I'm a fan. You are definitely a friend and a member of our family. I'm so happy to have met you. Thank goodness for Jennifer Hammond because she made that happen. And when she sent me that email, I went, no, that's not what she said. She's not going to introduce me to her. And she did. And you said yes. And I am so happy and so proud that you did. Thank
me
you
too.
For coming on our International Women's Day Marathon. Happy International Women's Day. And I hope you have an amazing rest of your week.
Thank you. You too, Teresa. Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.